When Reginald Dwayne Betts was 16, he was sentenced to prison for committing a carjacking. He survived his sentence, he says, by reading. Now a writer and a lawyer, Betts is the founder of Freedom Reads. It's a group that creates micro-libraries in prisons. The concept comes from a partnership with the architecture firm Mass Design, and it is now on display at the National Building Museum in Washington, D.C.
The way I would describe the library installation at the National Building Museum is an opportunity for the world to see something that's beautiful, that was created first for people in prison, to make an argument, a case for the need for beauty in prisons, and to make an argument and a case for the way that books provide people with a resource to access dignity and affirm their own dignity.
The exhibit is called the Freedom Library, and here and now's Tanya Mosley caught up with Betts to find out more about the exhibit.
The last time I spoke with Reginald Dwayne Betts, he had just won a MacArthur Genius Award. This time, we delved into what books do for people in prison.
I mean, first, books become a pathway to freedom because they allow us to contemplate the kind of existences that we might have aspired to and weren't able to get. But also, they allow us to do a kind of thinking based on how we encounter circumstances and ideas that you really can't do without encountering those circumstances and ideas. And you take a place like prison that's really devoid of the opportunity to feel. You know, you won't see a tulip in prison. You won't see a peony in prison. You won't see fallen leaves in most prisons. So the ways in which we access the living world is often deprived of folks in prison. But books allow you to touch some of that. Books allow you to access some of that.
Yeah. Another way that you put this in the past is when you pick up a book that helps you think about what it means to be alive in the world. Prisoners, what you're asserting is that they need to understand their importance in the world too, what their existence means in the world beyond their crimes and beyond their circumstance. It did that for you.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not just, you know, me. I mean, I remember going into a prison in Massachusetts and a guy was reading this book called Barskins. And he said, you know, I'm from Italy. And I'm from Northern Italy, and this book talks about a family from Northern Italy. And I know it's not my family, but I haven't talked to my family for a long time, and I kind of feel connected to them by reading this. And so sometimes books just connect you to your past, like through memory. You know, they trigger things in you that you can't predict, but that take you to places of solace, and also maybe even in places of remorse and of sorrow. But you want to be able to experience the whole bandwidth of human emotions. And the tragedy of prison is sometimes it denies you the bandwidth of those human emotions.
You and your team chose a variety of books for this exhibit, from the memoir Black Boy to the fantasy series Lord of the Rings. And part of this process was actually talking with novelists and historians and other folks, poets who created or highly recommended these books. Can you give us an example of what considerations were made about the choices? Because there are just so many.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Wesley Morris, a journalist for the New York Times Magazine, and he said, I'm going to butcher his quote, so he'll have to forgive me. And I had never read this book before. It's Angels in America. He said, I could read this book every day for the rest of my life and never get to the bottom of it. It is so much about what it is to be America and one person to grapple with so many different things, with all of it. He just said it's beautiful. And I thought, I need to read this book. And you know, it's about the AIDS epidemic in some ways, but it's about love. It's about our commitment to others. The book came out in 1995, and I got locked up in 1996. I did not know that world existed when I went to prison. Like, I did not know what I might have cared about and what caring about that thing might have done for me as I was a young man trying to figure out how I would touch people, how I would treat people, how I would engage with people. And so we had those conversations that reminded me of what books can do. We just listen to what people said when you said, talk about the book that you love.
I want to talk to you about the design of the bookshelves in this exhibit, which are modeled after libraries in prison, which is very specific to the challenges of creating a library in that kind of space. This curved design, for example, allowing the flexibility of it to fit in different spaces. What was your reaction when you first saw the finished mock-up of the installation?
Well, I was speechless. And you got to understand that we worked closely with Mass Design to figure out what this would look like. And so when we finally started working with them, then we started working with the Department of Corrections to think about everything that was involved, from what kind of material we could use to decide to make it modular so that it was more flexible, to the height that it should be. And I always was thinking, how do you turn a security concern into a design feature that's useful for something besides security? So you couldn't have it. It had to be like 44 inches high so it didn't obstruct the line of sight. But I said, but wait a minute. What if we made sure that you could access the books on both sides? And that way, it doesn't obstruct the line of sight, but it also allows two people to be in community with books at the same time.
There's so much that you're doing here in the work that you do, this assertion that prisoners deserve access to dignity through reading. We're in a moment now where people are changing their ideas about what incarceration should look like, what it should be like. For so long, it was the void of that, the absence of that. Like, the purpose was to take away the dignity of a human being because they had committed a crime. And what you're asserting is that even in that, everyone deserves access to beauty and the possibility of maybe potentially reforming themselves. Is that how you see it?
Look, I think that the way my judge, I was 16 years old, I weighed 125 pounds. It is no way that my judge believed that would be safe in prison. It is no way my judge believed that would be loved in prison. It is no way my judge believed that would be cared for in prison. And yet he thought that I should spend 9 years of my life there knowing that I would come home at 24. And we live in a system where all of us recognize this, and we haven't tried to create spaces of confinement that aren't brutal, that aren't monuments to despair. And the question is, like, what do I have the right to do to my fellow person, my fellow man, my fellow woman, my fellow human being? Like, what do I have the right to do to my neighbor? And I think this project is about putting some pressure on that question. And while recognizing that, look, the books aren't necessarily going to make, they won't reduce your prison sentence. Now, they might give you access to something to say to the parole board. They might help you understand yourself in a way that it makes you rethink what you did to land yourself in prison. They might turn you into a writer, like books turned me into a writer. And so when you're making a case for your own freedom, that could be a part of your case. But fundamentally, I think that what I'm trying to say is we should imagine spaces that are not torture chambers. And right now, too many of the prisons across this country are veritable torture chambers. And it's either because of what they do to you mentally or what literally physically happens to you inside.
Dwayne, in a way, with each accomplishment, we get to talk to you every time there is something really big happening with you. With each accomplishment, like this exhibit, you're experiencing a new level of freedom. You said to us earlier and the last time we spoke that freedom begins with a book, but what does the next leg of freedom look like for you?
I think the next leg is trying to have a footprint that really reimagines how we think about the people that we've left in prison. And I think the next leg of what it looks like is to be able to have stories about how this does have some real downstream effect on people's lives. Because the truth is, you spend 5 years in prison, 10 years in prison, 15 years, those are lives that you're living, right? And I want to remember that. And I want to give them a chance to say that I think that those years matter. But also, I want us to be able to return and look at those spaces and think about those spaces so that we can reimagine what we condemn people to. And it's not to excuse and explain away crime and act like the horrors and the pain that victims go through don't exist. It's to say that I think that it's a conversation that can be had that's more generous for every side of the ledger than the one that we have now.
Dwayne, thank you so much for talking with us again.
Yeah, no, this was great. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to be on always.
Reginald Dwayne Betts is a poet, lawyer, and 2021 MacArthur Genius Fellow. His new exhibit at the National Building Museum in Washington, D.C., highlights his work bringing books to people in prison. It's on display until September.